Deuteronomy 29, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 9 in Deuteronomy 29 this morning. So you want to follow along with those verses, and you may want to refer to the outline in the bulletin. We are taking a little interlude, a little step back from the texts that are quoted in the New Testament to look at these verses in Deuteronomy 29 this week, and then next week my plan is to look at verses 10 through 13. The idea here is to review the covenant, review the love of God, and then in verses 10 through 13 next week to renew the covenant with God, a renewal of the covenant love with God. So that's my plan, and then hopefully we can finish the specific texts that are quoted in the New Testament. There are some of the commandments that are quoted in the New Testament from the book of Deuteronomy, and we want to look at those. And so this morning we look at covenant love renewed, or reviewed, I'm sorry, covenant love reviewed. And at the head of the outline I have this simple statement: God calls us to keep covenant with Him, to love Him with all our hearts and all our strength because of His love for us. And certainly this is the case for us, and certainly this was the case for the people of Israel in the land of Moab at that particular time. So we look at Deuteronomy 29, verses 1 through 9, covenant love reviewed. Verse 1, "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he made with them at Horeb." God, as you remember, made a covenant with the people at Mount Sinai. And now, as the people of God are gathered on the east side of the River Jordan, in the land of Moab, there is a review of the covenant, and then, as I already said, next week, a renewal of the covenant. We'll look at those verses where there is the renewal. What is this covenant? Well, keep your finger there in Deuteronomy 29, if you would, and turn back in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 8. Deuteronomy 8. Well, actually it's in chapter 7. And God is looking at the people of Israel and bringing before them the reason for His establishing a relationship with them. And He says in verse 7 of chapter 7, "The Lord did not set His love on you or choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of the people. God loved them. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your fathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." What did God do? Because of His love for the people, because of a promise that He had previously made to the people, He brought them out of Egypt. Not because they were anything special. Not because they were particularly good. Not because they had a great name. Because of a love that He set upon them. And what was the response of the people to be? Well, turn back just a page in your Bibles to the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy and verse 5. Derek read from the 6th chapter of Deuteronomy, and part of what he read is verse 5, those wonderful words, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." God loved the people. And their response to God was simply to be this, to love Him. To love Him from the heart. To love Him with all of their heart and all of their strength and all of their might. Well, that's a reasonable thing, is it not? A response to one who loves to return that love. And then God also outlines for the people how they are to show that love, display that love. And if you'd look at Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verses 13 and 14, you see how it is that God determined that they should show that love. Verses 13 and 14 in Deuteronomy chapter 4. "So he declared to you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform," that is the Ten Commandments. "And he wrote them on two tablets of stone. The Lord commanded me at that time to teach you the statutes and judgments, that you might perform them in the land where you are going over to possess it." And so you have these things. God loved the people, not because they were anything great. And he loved them with an everlasting love. And the response of the people was simply to be this, to return a love to God, a love that would stem from the heart. And how were they to express this love? By keeping covenant, by walking in the commandments of God, by following after Him and living for Him. That's simply what it was about. And the book of Deuteronomy is about all of this. As I say in the first point in the outline, the book of Deuteronomy reviews God's covenant love with the current generation. And we often need to review God's covenant love, do we not? Has God loved you? Has God taken a particular interest in you? And is it therefore not incumbent upon you and me, as God has brought forth a particular love for us, to return a love to Him? Yes. And how is it that we express our love to God? By following Him. By keeping covenant with Him. By obeying Him. "If you love me," Jesus said, "you will keep my commandments." Back to Deuteronomy 29. "These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the sons of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant which he had made with them at Horeb." God reviews in the body of this book His covenant. And it's these basic three points that I've already set before you. His love for them, the response of the people in love, and the vehicle, the commandments of God. Look at verses 2 and following. "And Moses summoned all Israel and said to them, 'You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and all of his servants, and all his land. The great trials which your eyes have seen, those great signs and wonders. Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. Moses reminds the people of their journey and that they lack hearts filled with love for God. Moses reminds the people of what transpired in Egypt, that God brought them out of bondage with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And you remember the story of the plagues that God brought upon Egypt. How God, through Moses, turned the river Nile into blood. And the witch doctors in Egypt, the soothsayers, did the same. And then God brought another plague, a plague of frogs upon the land. And the soothsayers in Egypt did the same. It's amazing how Pharaoh's own religious leaders compounded the problem. And he brought a third plague, a plague of gnats and flies and bugs. And the soothsayers of Egypt and the witch doctors of Egypt confessed that they could not do it. And they said, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh would not repent. And there were subsequent plagues. The cattle died. There is a plague of hail. There is a plague of locusts. And darkness descends on the land. A darkness so thick that it could be cut with a knife. And no light was present. And then there was the death of the firstborn. And God brought the people out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And when Pharaoh's army chased the people and they came to the Red Sea, God parted the sea. And the people walked through as on dry land. And when Pharaoh's army pursued them, the sea came back. And Pharaoh and all of his army perished. And so it was that God delivered the people of Israel. And Moses simply sets before the people these historic developments and rehearses the history before the people. Do you not remember what God has done? And are you not grateful for what God has done? And what does Moses say? "Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear." And to be grateful for all that God does, what do we need? We need God to operate upon our hearts and to give us new hearts. We need God to open our ears, and we need God to open our eyes to see His goodness. Thank you, Lord, when you do that great work. Isn't it the same today? Isn't it exactly the same today that so often Jesus Christ is presented? So often Jesus Christ and His death for sinners and His resurrection and the fact that He rules and reigns as God supreme is presented. And there is an ignorance of Jesus Christ and a lack of a worship of Him. What do we need? Eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand. And what does verse 4 say to us? "Yet to this day the Lord is the one who gives these things." May God give to you, and may God give to me a heart to know and eyes to see and ears to hear. Verses 5 and following. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God. What did God do in the wilderness for 40 years? An extraordinary thing. Their shoes did not wear out. How many pairs of shoes do you have in your closet? Are any of them worn out? How old are they? For 40 years, in the same set of sandals, these men and women walked through the desert, and their shoes, their sandals, did not wear out. Their clothes, the fabric in their clothes, did not wear out. Do you have any jeans, the bottom of which are tattered and torn because they're scuffed on the pavement day after day? I do. Imagine this. Their clothes were not worn out after 40 years. Well, some of us would rebel at the idea of wearing the same set of clothes for 40 years. That's for certain. But isn't it a miraculous thing that God did? Not only delivering the people from Egypt and from bondage, but taking care of them the way that He did. And what was the bottom line? What was the idea of all of this? To care for them physically? No, it wasn't to care for them physically as the ultimate goal. Look at verses 5 and 6 again. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you, and your sandal has not worn out on your foot. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink. What did God do? He gave them manna from heaven and water from a rock. He took care of them and did so, again, their physical needs. Verse 6, in order that you might know that I am the Lord your God. The bottom line was very simple. That the people might understand that the Lord, He is God. And that's the bottom line today also, dear friend. Why does God exercise His care of you and me? It's a good thing that He exercises His care of you and me, is it not? We would all say yes. It's a good thing that we can thank God for food and clothing and shelter. But what is the bottom line? That we would know that the Lord is God. And there is none other. That we would be brought to worship the Lord our God. And I submit to you that that means that we would be brought to a worship of Jesus Christ, the Lord. That you would be brought to a worship of Him, and that I would be brought to a worship of Him in a more firm and steady and resolute fashion. Verses 7 and 8. When you reach this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out to meet us for battle, but we defeated them, and we took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites and Gadites and the half-tribe of the Manassites. What did God do? as the people came up and gathered on the east side of Jordan in the land of Moab, where there were two significant and great kings that came out to battle against them, God turned Israel into an army, and that army defeated these two great kings. And the lands that those two great kings occupied were given to the people, to two of the tribes and a half a tribe. And there was great hope, therefore, as Israel would pass over the Jordan and enter into the rest of the land promised to them by God. There was great hope that they would occupy that land and that they would have a home and a place and a residence. And so it is with you and me, that as God undertakes for you and as God undertakes for me, we are assured of a place of residence not only in this life, but when we understand the Lord our God and we understand Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, we have a residence in our promised land, in heaven itself. And we give praise to God that this is the case. And so when God undertakes for us in our daily walk with Him, we have hope with regard to an eternal home and an eternal rest. And we ought to give praise and thanks to God. And so Moses gives hope, and he reminds the people of God's love in giving them a land east of Jordan. And because God has done these things, because God has taken care of them in a physical way, and God has given them a land, and God has given them a residence, what is the desire of Moses? Verse 9. So keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. So keep covenant with God. Has He loved you? Has He given you a vehicle in which you may return love to Him and display your love to Him? Yes. Keep covenant with Him. Do the simple things that He asks you to do from the heart. That's simply the covenant reviewed. And it seems to me it is a very simple thing for you and for me. And God calls us to keep covenant with Him, to love Him with all of our hearts because of His great love for us. Why did Jesus Christ come into the world? Why did He come into the world? In fulfillment of the promises of God given of old, to fulfill those covenant promises and to express God's love to people like us. And He died on Calvary's cross to pay the penalty for the sins of people like you and me. And he rose again from the dead to display the fact that his sacrifice was plenty adequate to cover your sins and mine. And our response to his love is quite simple. Trust that sacrifice. Believe in Jesus Christ, who died to pay for sins, and believe in the resurrection of the dead, Jesus Christ, who rose again and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And confess faith in this Jesus Christ and say to him, "You are the Lord God Almighty." That's the response of love that comes in an initial way. And then there ought to be a realization of the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ is the blood of the covenant. And we are to keep covenant with God through Jesus Christ. And if God has loved us in Jesus Christ, and if God says to us, in turn, we are to love Him, and we are to love Him by keeping His commandments, then we are to follow through and walk with Jesus Christ in this fashion. And the question then becomes, does it not? As Moses says in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 29, "Yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear." Has God given you that heart to know, and those eyes to see, and those ears to hear? Has He loved you in this fashion? You need to turn to Him and renew your covenant with Him and love Him with all your heart. And I want to look at that a little bit next week in the following verses. But let's just keep this in mind as we go through the next days in this coming week, that if God has truly loved us in Jesus Christ, and if He says our response to Him is a love with all of our hearts, and if He has given to us the vehicle, that is, His word, His commandments, and we truly trust Jesus Christ, then we have a way to walk that's been given by God. And if we do have a way to walk which has been given by God, we need to stand up and say before all who are in the world and all who are in the church, "I trust You, Lord Jesus, and I will, by Your grace, walk after You as You have set it forth in Your Word. And we will, therefore, at the appropriate times and in the appropriate ways, renew our own covenant with God." May God help us to understand that this is the case. And may God be pleased to give us eyes to see and ears to hear. and hearts to know. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for your grace. May it be that each one of us here would look to you for a heart to follow you. We pray, Father, that we would trust Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of glory, and we would walk with him. Make it so, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.